I've been getting a lot of calls lately from people who are seeing bluebirds. October is pretty much the peak of bluebird migration, so that's sort of to be expected, though it's always heartening to see such a lovely bird, and during migration, bluebirds are often seen in even lovelier flocks. Since we're in the range of the eastern bluebird, it's easy to gloss over bluebirds thinking there are no alternatives. But occasionally mountain bluebirds turn up in Wisconsin and especially in Minnesota. So any bluebird is worth checking over, especially this time of year when at least some birds are likely to veer off course during migration. I've seen a mountain bluebird in Grand Marais in 1982, and there have been more than one sighting in Duluth. I've also seen them in several western states. When I attended a National Audubon Convention in Estes Park, Colorado, back in the 70s, I got to watch them nesting. It was such a cool treat because they're such confiding as well as beautiful birds. By far the trickiest bluebird for me to see over the years has been the western bluebird. I saw my first in 1982, the year Russ and I took our baby Joey to Arizona. When we drove to the Grand Canyon and parked at the first spot where you could actually see the canyon, a western bluebird was singing in the parking lot. Naturally, I focused on it. The sun made the rusty patch on the back glow, and I was so thrilled to round out my North American bluebirds list that I couldn't pull my eyes away. Poor Russ had been so excited about showing me the Grand Canyon that he was shocked that I didn't even notice it and was instead looking at a bird. But that was the only western bluebird I saw for 14 more years until I came upon one with my whole family when we were hiking in Nahokie Falls County Park near Santa Barbara, California, searching for a yellow-billed magpie. I missed the magpie, but at least I got that look at the bluebird. I also saw some western bluebirds when I was taking the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's field recording course in California in 2001. But those are my only encounters with the splendid bird. Fortunately, some researchers have a lot more luck following western bluebirds. Yesterday, I read on livescience.com about some fascinating research on the species in California. It turns out that in this bird, after fledged on their own, the young females pretty much disperse. But the young males stay on the home territory through the winter and even into the next year's breeding season, hanging out together like teenagers, perhaps playing video games or stickball, using up their parents' food resources. But if suddenly the refrigerator goes empty, that is, if for some reason natural food supplies dwindle, the young males wander off. This was established in an interesting experiment when researchers removed half of the mistletoe that provided much of the bluebird's food on some experimental sites. Once it was gone, only 8% of the young males stuck around. Yet in the sites where food was left undisturbed, half the young males stayed through the entire winter. The researchers observed no instances of the parents forcing the males to leave. The lead researcher said the results provide the first evidence in the avian world that inherited wealth promotes family stability. I love how when we look carefully at birds, we find so many parallels to human characteristics. We're only human, and apparently so are birds. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.